Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 95 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com. And with me on the line once again via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm fine. But let me tell you, this thing is getting harder and harder to do every week. What's the number this
95.
Time?
95.
Yeah. 95. Okay. One never knows what one's brain contains until one is put on, through the crucible. 95. That's terrific. Well, I hope everybody's well, and I see you've had a shoot with a model, Bruce.
I have. As mentioned last week, I managed to find a model on ozmodel.com, which That was a trying experience in itself. Now, whether that was because it was such a last-minute thing, I don't know, because I started emailing the models on Thursday saying, I need a model for Monday. And I emailed about 10 models, and I think it was about the seventh model who wrote back to me who was the first one to say, yes, I can actually do the shoot.
Right. Well, a lot of them are university students and, just young girls trying to make a living doing work outside of their studies.
Yeah.
And they're not, full-time models as such, but you've done well. She's a pretty girl.
Well, thank you.
And the shots are good too, mate. I hope that Shutters Inc. had some, some small input into how well you've done.
Well, I certainly, did my best to employ what I've learned over the last 95 episodes.
Well, I imagine you've listened to every single one of them.
I must admit, when I got home and looked at them, I felt pretty much the same as I felt after doing the wedding a month ago, where I thought, in parts I felt like I've missed the mark, and. Again, I had some focusing issues and...
Mm-hmm. Well, every photographer feels that. I feel that as
well. Do you?
Yep, absolutely. Oh. Did I really nail it? Did I nail it?
Yeah.
How's my client going to feel? And then you show them to your client and the client goes, oh, these are awesome. These are fantastic. because your client is a person who doesn't have your vision.
Yeah.
So whatever you've produced is probably going to be better than what he could even see in his head.
Yeah, right.
No offense to them, but that's why they do what they do and we do what we do.
Yeah.
But, tell you what, for a sound engineer, you're a pretty good photographer, mate.
Thank you.
You did a really lovely job. Now, you will be uploading these to your Flickr site. You will be uploading them to Audio to You.
And I'll certainly put them on the blog, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put them on Flickr, mate. You've got a Flickr site with one photo on it.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's about three.
I haven't been to your site because the first one you put on there was rather boring. I thought, no, if that's the art of seeing, mate, I'm sorry, you just lost it. But, if your client doesn't mind you putting these on your Flickr site, but you've done really well. And young Shuniel is her name.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl, and she was able to come, and you got the shoot done, and she was able to turn up for the shoot. And
eventually, she was a bit late, but anyway.
It's like musos, mate. Yeah, it's like musos.
Yeah.
When I was in Ocean Grove a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were in a cafe, and we were told that there was going to be a singer coming, at 7 o'clock. Well, muso time, mate. Yeah. Muso time. 9 o'clock.
Bit like Fiji time.
Yeah, right, yes. Island time.
Yeah.
Eventually she turned up. 9 o'clock, so 2 hours after the prescribed time. It's muso time. Photographers can't do that. We've got to be on time. We've got to be there. But musos, I don't know what it is with musos and models. But anyway, she turned up. She's a lovely looking girl, and she responded well to the camera, and you did your job very well.
Well, thank you.
I'm proud of you, mate. It's nice to know that I have played a small part in your advancement as a photographer. It's terrific.
You did. And, I was really surprised at how accommodating some of the store owners were, because I went into a couple of fashion boutiques and obviously I had my camera and my tripod in my hand at the time that I went in there.
Yeah.
And I just walk in and say, oh, hi. I said, look, I'm doing a photographic shoot with a model who's meant to be arriving in the next half an hour or so. It's a lifestyle shoot, and I was wondering if I could trouble you for one of your bags, with your brand on it. And they all came to the party. They all said, yeah, sure, would you like us to stuff it with paper to make it look like there's things in it? And I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome,
Because I noticed you had some, you've got...
Carla Zampatti and Saba.
Saba, yeah.
And the other one was a shoe store. I Edward Meller, I think it was. So, yeah, and they were all very accommodating and said, yeah, sure, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's their brand name, I suppose. They don't mind it being in a photograph.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah, that's terrific.
But I thought
it just added to the
image and, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, did you find that, you know, you've obviously translated the images you had intended into actual images? How did you find that process? Like, you had a concept in your mind, no doubt.
Yeah.
How did you find translating the image in your mind into the two-dimensional reality that is your picture? How did you go with that process?
I think for the most part it came fairly close.
Right. What was your process, though? You know, did you actually think in terms of, well, what lens am I going to use? How am I, what perspective? Like, did you find yourself working through that process?
Definitely. Particularly the shots, not that you'll, well, you will know the ones. The ones where Chuniel's sitting at the table with the wooden chairs.
Yep.
That's outside a pub in Double Bay. Right. And I swapped a couple of lenses because I specifically wanted different focal length looks for those shots that I was taking. So the ones that are, well, I mean, you know, anyone who's had experience with focal lengths will know when you look at them, you can tell the ones that were shot on a longer focal length than the ones that were shot,
yes,
you know, with a sort of a wider, closer look. But
yeah.
And so then, I was consciously thinking of a comment that you made back when we were doing the window light portrait submissions, and you mentioned about, you know, the absence of shots taken with longer focal lengths, and that there were some submissions where you felt thought hadn't been given to the focal length of the lens used for the portrait.
Yes.
So that kind of was running through my mind at the time that I was doing these shots outside the pub. Hence why I, you know, tried a couple of different lengths of lens to see how that would all translate.
Yes, and I can see them looking through the photographs. I can see that you've used longer lenses in a lot of the cases, which has highlighted the subject, removed your depth of field, compressed the perspective, and it's very effective.
For the most part, that was the 1.35 f2.8 lens.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to love that lens.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Well, I'm glad that something I've said has rubbed off on you, mate.
Absolutely.
That's terrific. And you've done a really good job, you know.
Thank you.
You know, and it really is about working through the process of something that's in your head and making it come out, you know, as a reality. So that's something that we were talking about last week, and I wanted to actually just sort of talk a little bit more about this week because it continues to plague me. I'm heading off to Albury this weekend. The Australian Photographic Society convention is there, and every year they have this convention. It's an amateur photography society in Australia, and they ask you to speak, and you know, you give your time up to do it because, well, you're part of the industry and it means a lot to them, and you owe it to the industry and you owe it to people to do those things. So it's a weekend away for me and for my wife and I, and we're just going to go up there and enjoy ourselves. But every time I go to these events and I see photographs on the wall, I see what the photographers have tried to convey. You know, they've had an image, they've seen something, they've had an image in their head, and they've tried to make it happen, and it just doesn't. Right. And they rely on the subject, the dynamics of the subject, to actually make the photograph work. You know, if it's an interesting thing, a horse-drawn carriage, a pretty girl, an interesting car, whatever it might be.
I think I was guilty of that with this shoot.
Well, look, a pretty girl, it doesn't have to be often a great photograph for people to appreciate it. There's something about a pretty face that we just like, you know? And a lot of times, actually, if you examine a lot of the faces of the most beautiful women in the world, are faces that follow the golden mean rule of, you know, in their dimensions. And we have this thing about that. But I don't think you're guilty of it in these particular photographs. You've used some photographic processes that have made the images more dynamic. But so many times photographs rely on the dynamic of the subject rather than the photographer's prowess.
Oh, okay.
And that's the difference between the art of seeing and translating and the art of just being at the right place at the right time. I was looking at a website of a renowned photographer the other day, and I won't mention his name, but he's been to some incredible places in the world, and people go, wow, these are great pictures. Well, I was having a look at his website, and I was thinking, actually, no, they're not great photographs. They're great things.
They're photographs, you know, photographs of great places.
And I said to myself, and my wife was was looking at the screen, and my son was looking at the screen, and my son said, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And I said, actually, son, it's not. It's not really a great photograph. It's just a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
And he said, well, actually, yeah. And he could see it for himself. I said, there's so much more you could have done with that particular thing to make it a great photograph as such. And that's the difference between, yeah, relying on the subject to be interesting and just making something, as we said last week, making the ordinary extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that really boils down to the art of seeing. You know, that's why I asked the question of you at the beginning of the podcast, did you do to translate what you saw in your head to make the image happen? Well, you just said, well, look, I realized that I needed to change my focal length. You could have just said, well, this is a pretty girl and it'll sell itself. And a lot of photographers would have.
Right.
But you didn't. You actually said, no, I'm going to do something here. And you even, you know, you've got down low with a lens.
Yeah.
You've used your exposure. You've got a long lens, your 135, 2.8, wiped out your depth of field, you know, compressed the scene. Those kinds of things are photographic processes that belong to the art of seeing and the art of translating and interpreting. They have nothing to do with how pretty the girl is. I'm sure there's lots of snapshots of this girl in her mum and dad's photo album that are, you know, that are just as pretty, but they're not great photographs.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And often with photographers, we have this sense of anticipation that we take our camera and we hope something interesting will reveal itself. But, you know, it's like we're driving along looking for a sign that says scenic spot ahead. Oh, great, I'll photograph that. That's not life, you know, it really isn't. And, I was reading an interview with a well-known photographer, Freeman Patterson, who's a Canadian photographer. And if anybody wants some inspiration on the art of seeing, in fact, he's written a book on the subject, just have a look at some of Freeman Patterson's work.
Right.
And he really has mastered the art of seeing. Him and guys like Pete Turner, he's another photographer you could look at and just say, this guy can photograph anything and make it look good, as can Freeman Patterson. He makes a picture of an old bed in a room look fantastic.
Wow.
And he has mastered the art of seeing. And in this interview, he tells his students, give me a number between one. He'll be standing in a place and he'll say, give me a number between 1 and 30. And someone will shout out, you know, 14. So he says, okay, I will take 14 steps from here. He sets up his tripod and he takes 10 good photographs without hardly moving.
What?
He said, and that is him teaching his students how to see. Because everywhere around you, there is shape.
Yeah.
Everything has shape, shape and form. It has color, texture. The combinations of those things, the interplays of them, the contrasts of them, hard and soft, blue and red, you know, all of these, there's all these interplays between the various elements of our photographs that exist everywhere. Now, as I'm doing this podcast, I'm looking on my desk, and on my desk is a half-filled glass of water, and it's placed against the black backdrop of my desktop. Right, my physical, not my computer desktop.
Yeah, the
my
table.
Actual
yep.
desktop. And there's a photograph right there because I've got a glass, I've got black, I've got the half filled. If I wanted to, I could take a photograph of that and make it interesting. And that's really what the art of seeing is. We don't have to be driving along and wait for a sign that says supermodel ahead, you know, Vista ahead. I mean, can you imagine how many cars would pull over, you know? And I think that's where a lot of photographers miss out on the joy that is photography, the everyday joy that is photography, because they're waiting for a sign.
and the other side of that, which you haven't mentioned yet, which surprises me, is that whenever there's a thing like that that says, you know, scenic spot, everyone stops and takes the same photo.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, I remember when my son and I were at Pito Lake in the Rockies, we climbed over the railing You know, yeah. There was no, you know, we climbed over the railing and walked to the cliff edge and set up our tripods. You know, if I won't tell my wife that because she'll kill me. But you know, we wanted to get the view we wanted to get, and that was what we did. If we got in other people's way, I'm terribly sorry, but we got the hell of a photograph, and we made it our own. And you're exactly right. You know, it's they rely on the subject and say what a great photograph, and it really isn't about the subject. I want you to think in terms of how a paint tin, you know, a can of paint looks when you put it on the ground.
Yeah.
If you place a pen on the desk, what does it look like? It has shape, it has form, it has color. You know, what could you make of that? These things exist everywhere, and you can step outside your house, no matter where you live, and you can take great photographs. Some of the best pictures that you ever take will be of ordinary things. That's something I've learned. Because people will marvel, you will marvel yourself at the creation of it. People will say, I never ever saw a flower look like that. Or something even far more ubiquitous, you know, I've never seen a pencil look like that.
Yeah.
And some of the best photographs you ever take will be because you have seen something others haven't and been able to translate it in terms of shape, form, color, texture, and the combinations of those things that other people can't see.
Yeah.
And that's why your client has asked you to take these photographs of Chuniel and these lifestyle photographs, and he wouldn't have been able to do them himself because he doesn't have, well, the equipment and all that other stuff. They think that, you know, we're hired because of our equipment. We're not. We're hired because of our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and our ability to translate.
I have another question for you. You have this mantra which you've drummed into our listeners for 95 episodes and which will never leave me till the day I die now. And that is
didn't know I had that effect on you.
And that is to get the shot right in camera.
Yep.
I'm wondering, do you think that all professional photographers, and by professional photographers, I mean people of your caliber. I don't mean just everyone who calls themselves a professional wedding photographer, but people who really do take stunning images. Mm. Do you think all of them work on that theory, or do some of them, you know, work to the idea of this is what's in front of me, but I can see that there are developing techniques which will come into play which will add to it? And I guess this is the question I was trying to ask last week but just didn't quite get my tongue around it.
That's fair enough. I have absolutely no problem with the post-processing. Anybody who goes to my website, my Flickr site, will see that I post-process a lot of my work, to some degree, all of my work in terms of levels and curves and sharpening and those kinds of things. So,
And selective, you know, masking of areas for certain effects as well.
Yes, absolutely. When I say get it right in the camera, I basically am saying that it's a quality, not quantity thing. And that especially applies at a wedding. I've seen photographers turn up at a wedding and just bang away, hoping that they'll get something.
Yeah, it's like a motor drive for 2 hours.
Right. You know, bang, 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 bang. They come home and, I shot 1,500 photos at this wedding. And yeah, great. How many of them are actually good as standalone images? Yeah. I taught my workshop at Rockhampton. I said, if you can produce 12 good images at a wedding that the couple just go, oh, look at that. That's you're going to be known as the killer photographer,
really?
You know, of that area.
Just 12.
Oh yeah, wow. I mean you'll produce a lot of nice images of here's me with my mom and here's the family and all that kind of thing. But if you can knock out a dozen images that just go oh wow oh great, they will never ever forget that. I mean, you might do more if you can do more. Well, great.
Yeah.
But that's where taking the time to, you know, see the image and work it through. It's worth taking that time.
Yeah.
When the pressure's on, like you're working with Chuniel, the model, and you've got her booked for a certain amount of time. You're working with a bride and groom, and you know they've given you a certain amount of time and certain limiting circumstances.
Yeah.
You feel under pressure.
Yeah.
And that's you know, you've got to get this done. But that's where it's really time to take a breath. And it really is worth it. And in fact, I often say to brides, because they're just as uptight, and I do this with models as well, or amateurs, or whoever's having their photo taken, I just actually look at them and I say, okay, I'll maybe put them in a place, a bride particularly, I'll place her in the light. That's what I say, find the light and put them in it.
Yep.
So I'll put her in the light, and she wants to make this photo work. She everything right. She's, you know, she's make, you know, all uptight. And I just say to her, you know, look, okay, great. Now, can I just ask you to do one thing? I just want you to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Let it go. And once they do that, they just let go of all that, you know, rush and get it right. And you've got to do the same as a photographer. Yeah. You've actually got to say, here I am. Oh, this, you know, and I've been, oh, look, the light's only going to last a few minutes. And I've completely mucked it up because I've just banged away hoping it would work. And on other occasions, I've gone, okay, Shelton, just take a deep breath. Get in touch with what it is that's happening. Get in touch with what it is you're actually seeing and produce one killer photograph from the next 3 minutes of light that you might have and you'll be happy. And that's better than, you know, working. And that's all a part of this translating. It takes a minute or two to actually get it from the back of your head, you know, as we've often said here, and make it happen in the camera. And that, again, is why I asked you this this question. How did you find translating on the spot? Because the first process is, to answer your question, may have gone a long way around, haven't I? To answer your question.
That's okay.
Get it right in camera is about, you know, stopping, thinking it through. Because once you've got it right in camera, well, it will only be, you know, perfected in the post-process.
Right.
To a degree maybe pre-digital was not able to do to the same degree, right?
Right.
Although there's always been the darkroom, but that had it limit. That had you know, its limitations based on chemistry and paper and all those other things.
Yeah,
we don't have those limitations anymore. But if you've got it right in camera, and you look in these photos that you took of Shuniel, you did get a lot right in the camera. I know you've post-processed.
Yeah,
but you got it right. You thought the process through there and then. If you hadn't done that, if you hadn't swapped to your 135 2.8, there's no way known you could have got the images that you did by post-processing.
Yeah, true.
You can't create the look of a 135 2.8 in terms of compression and depth of field in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Because the lens creates the image that is the basis for whatever you do thereafter.
Yeah.
So you saw that in your head. You saw that and you said, oh, I can, you know, and you changed to that lens and it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm commending you, because you haven't relied on the subject to sell the picture. The pretty girl to sell the picture, and it works. And neither can the rest of us. And I rely on the subject to sell the picture. And I don't know about you, Bruce, but I've had a look at our Flickr site.
Yep.
And look, the photographs just keep getting better and better. Don't you reckon?
Absolutely.
It's awesome what is happening
going up there.
Yeah, it really is fantastic. You know, naturally, you know, some of us are better than others in terms of translating. But I'm looking at the Flickr site right now, and look, there are some great images right here. I can see a picture from, is that you, Richard? Richard Annable? RXA Photos?
That's
is that
him.
You, Richard? Richard, you've taken a picture of a man's shirt and tie.
That's and him. That's himself. That's his self-portrait for the day.
That is fantastic. It relies on shape, form, color, texture, composition. And it's just fantastic. And it is a shirt and a tie. It's just fantastic. I love it. Richard, you've done it again. There's another photo. I'm just opening it up as we speak. And this is great, folks. You've really got to join this Flickr site and get into it. You've taken a picture of a can of, what is it?
It's a beer
some
can.
Alcoholic beer can fit. And you've said, just a recent walk through Fitzroy. And look, you've seen it and you translated it and it's fantastic. And that's what the art of seeing, and you know, Richard's nailed it here, as many of our listeners have, the art of seeing. There's some great subjects here. Now, who's our BK secret photo fellow again?
Landon.
Landon, that's right. He has taken some photographic techniques, seen ordinary things, pictures of rocks with a red leaf on it, and at sunrise or sunset, gorgeous time, just a time exposure of the way water travels over rocks. I mean, you guys, I don't know, why am I talking about this? Because you seem to have nailed it all, you guys. You really do, and it's fantastic. That's what we want to keep up. Don't rely on the subject to be fantastic. Rely on your photography to be fantastic, to make the ordinary extraordinary. And it really, go to the Flickr site that Richard set up, because it really is just awesome. Yeah. And I'm, you know, it's teaching me a lot. It really is.
I love some of the stuff that Landon's put up, and but one of the things that grabs me about the Stone Cold Colour Shot, the one that you just mentioned, the rocks with the red leaves, is it doesn't appear to be as long a time exposure as some of his other stuff. If you look at the water in the background, you can see that you can still actually determine the ripples, where some of his other stuff, where he's taking like 4 minute exposures, it's just like gloss, you know.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And Landon actually mentioned a technique to me that we are going to talk about in a few podcasts' time, after I've had a chance to really give it a try myself, that reduces noise. It's a post process that reduces a lot of noise, and it's funny. I knew about it. I asked him about it, and he said, "Well, this is what I do." And I went, "Yeah, of course. Why didn't I think of that?" So we have another podcast subject coming up about long exposures and how to not only take them and perfect them, but and Landon, if you want some input on this, mate, I welcome it. I really do, because you are our Flickr expert on this, not me, that's for sure.
And well, I'll tell you what, I'll do my best to email Landon, and if Landon's got a Skype connection, we might get him on.
Oh, okay, so I'm being farmed out, am I?
No.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. Good on you, Landon. Thanks for just coming and taking my gig. You know, no, I mean, of course, Landon, if you want to be a part of this, that would be terrific. And to get, you know, even if you just want to insert some quotes or something from young Landon, he really has got some beautiful stuff here. And you say young Landon, I don't know how old Landon is, but, you know, at my age, everybody's young. But look, that would be great. And there's a post-processing technique that we will talk about that will enable you to remove a lot of the noise issues that come with minutes of exposure in digital. And that's certainly something worth talking about.
Well, I want to hear about that before I go to the States, okay?
Yep, and you are off in three weeks
today.
Now that, okay, well, it will probably have to, we'll have to podcast it afterwards, because I won't be able to do a lot of time exposures till I go away on Melbourne Cup weekend with my boys, with my posse, which I do every year. So you and I will talk about this privately, and when you come back from the States, because we won't be able to do a podcast while you're away, we will talk about, maybe if you can do some time exposures, I will do some time exposures. We will both, with Landon's help, contribute to this podcast to talk about how time affects our photographs and what we can do with time and shutter speeds. And then we'll just nail it with that Photoshop process that removes a lot of the hot pixels from our images. So why don't we do that?
Sounds good.
So everybody, that's a few weeks time, of course. That's at least a month or so away.
Well, no, it'll be more than that, because it'll be 6 weeks at least.
Yeah.
I leave in 3 weeks and I'm gone for 3 weeks, so
Right. So, okay, stay tuned, folks. You know, we'll keep you interested until then.
Even though there won't be any podcasts during those 3 weeks, I will be able to blog on shuttersincpodcast.com. So, you know, if you are interested in following my travels up and down the west coast of America, I will try and blog every couple of days just to
I'll be say following you, mate.
Where I will am you? And what we're doing, and maybe just put up one or two pics here and there.
Yes, we'll all be following you with envious eyes. That's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure you are. You know, and are you having dinner with anybody that we know? Anybody on Flickr? Anybody on Shutters Inc? Are you catching up with any of the gang?
The only person I'm going to have time to catch up with is Robert Fisher.
Right.
Bob's offered me a bed for the night. The day that I fly into LA. Which is Saturday the 10th.
Now, Bob is our photo meister, isn't he?
That's the one.
Yep.
So I'm picking up the hire car at LAX, driving out to Palm Springs, and we're heading out into the Joshua Tree National Park that evening. That'll be pretty cool. And then crashing at Bob's place that night, Saturday night, and then Sunday I'll hit the road off to Ventura.
Man, you got to send me some emails or you got to upload some photos as you go. Joshua Tree National Park.
Bob tells me he can route me around LA, so I don't have to go back through LA to get to Ventura, which would be good. So
right, okay. Well, so, you know, I imagine there'll be some. Look, I mean, don't just concentrate on landscapes while you're there. There'll be very interesting urban scapes you're there.
Absolutely.
Know? The people, the textures, the homes, there'll be some really interesting stuff to do while you're there.
Yep.
I imagine, you know, it's a land of wonder waiting for you there. So, keep your camera out and get that Remember that the ordinary can be made into the extraordinary if you're seeing.
Yep.
And that's why we should always have a camera on us. And I tell you what, something I learned recently was, I've always thought, I've got this Tamron 18-250, which I've really fallen in love with. And I've always thought that, I wouldn't have this kind of a lens because it wouldn't necessarily be the kind of quality that I would like. And admittedly, if I was taking time and setting up a photograph and, really working it through, it might not be my lens of choice in terms of, well, if I've got something that is more suited to that photograph, maybe a prime lens more suited to that photograph, I would use that.
Yeah.
But as a lens that helps me to walk around and see, fantastic. Not that it's not sharp. It's pin sharp and little distortion at either end. Very little. But it's a lens that you can just walk around with and just go, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And you've got all your eyes in the one lens.
Yeah, right.
And it has really been a fantastic thing for me just to carry around. I love my Ricoh GR. I mean, that's great. But it has one way of seeing, and that's good. Yeah. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that.
Yep.
But this 18-250 has taught me something new, something completely different, and I'm really enjoying that process. So, I learned something recently myself, really did. Anyway, I'll leave it on that point.
Fantastic. All right, mate. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah, that we will.
By the way, we've had a heap of submissions for the landscape competition at long last. The prompting got through. So, very keen to see more, but also very glad to have received a whole bunch this week.
Yes, thanks, everyone. That really is terrific.
As I said on the Flickr site, people generally seem to be sending in an average of about 3 shots each, which is okay, but I certainly wouldn't want to see too many more than that because it just becomes, a massive collection of images to try and sort through.
Yes.
And particularly given that, we're going to be accepting submissions for this for at least another, 6 or 7 weeks, because we're not going to get to episode 100 until I get back from the US, so...
Mm.
Yeah, so there's plenty of time for people to send stuff in. So if we can try and keep it to, 2 to 3 images each, that would be be great.
Yes, and of course, when you enter any kind of competition or you submit any kind of photograph, they should only be your best. So if you're sending 3 photographs, they should be of equal photographic dynamic. If you think, oh, this one's not that good, well, and it doesn't compare to the other 3. There's no point sending it. They've got to be good stuff.
Yep.
Knock us out. Knock us sideways.
And I've got to say, there's been 1 or 2 submissions with wonky horizons. I'm not naming names.
Well, they are out. They are gone. They are finished. Kaput, ya.
Kitty litter.
Yeah. I can imagine every Shutter's Inc. listener going, submit a great, what did I say? What's it called? Wonky Horizon? You'll be getting emails from people saying, look, I put this in Photoshop and I checked it with the crop tool and it's perfectly straight.
All right, mate. You have a good week.
You too.
And we'll talk with you then.
Yeah, you bet. See you soon.
See you later.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.